All right, NBA dominating as always. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, you name it. By the way, did you guys see Vegas just installed the Celtics as the new betting favorite to win the NBA title? Hop on the Warriors now while you can. Get some good value on your money. Anyway, let's talk about it with Sports Illustrated's Howard Beck. Covered the league forever. He's on the UMA guest line. Howard, welcome to the Murph and Mac Show. Brian Murphy and Paul McCaffrey. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. Doing all right. How are you?
We're good, man. We're good. And here we are on Wednesday, July 6th, the latest and greatest. As you wake up this morning, Howard, your thoughts on Kevin Durant. We read everything every day. It shifts. It moves. The horses change down the stretch. What's your leading thought on Kevin Durant's future right now?
I couldn't tell you. I don't have one. this saga has been all over the place. Much of it hasn't made sense to begin with, as I wrote last week, which is that Kevin Durant seemingly wants out for some combination of reasons, at least one of which is that he doesn't like the way that the Nets handled Kyrie Irving, the hard line they took with him, but the other of which is that Kevin Durant doesn't like the way last season went, and last season went the way it did largely because of Kyrie Irving. So, nothing makes much sense to me regarding Kevin Durant wanting out, because the Nets have taken, they've done what they had to do to try to get things back on course, and doing that means holding Kyrie Irving accountable and taking a harder line with him on the contract. And now Kyrie Irving has opted in, and so he's in for at least one season. Like, where, how all this leads to Kevin Durant wanting out is still not, it's not something I can make sense of. I don't think it's something that anybody can make sense of. And in fact, somebody I know well, who's well connected to this whole situation, told me last week when I was asking about it, basically said, if you figure it out, let me know. So could Kevin Durant, because this is not really a rational position in the first place, just reverse himself? Yeah. Could the Nets wait this out? Could the Nets decide, well, we're not getting a good enough offer, so we're just going to keep you, and we expect you to see you on opening day of training camp? Everything's possible, guys.
Wow, it is nuts, isn't it? And that leads to his partner, who you just mentioned in your answer there, Howard. I'm talking to Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated about Kyrie, who you said he opted in, and then all of a sudden now people have him in a Laker uniform. You know what I mean? It's like, so your feeling on that, like, you know, how Kyrie played out last year and then how he opts in, but he opts in kind of. I mean, some people say, yeah, well, that's only the beginning of the process. He still could be on the move.
Well, it was a financial decision. Obviously, he had $36 million at stake, and to not opt in would have meant going to free agency, and to go to free agency would have meant he's not getting anywhere near that $36 million. I mean, there's virtually no market for Kyrie Irving. Most teams want to steer clear of him, and the teams that had cap room wouldn't be destinations for him anyway. And there was this whole ridiculous bluff about, well, I'm going to sign with the Lakers for their mid-level exception of $6.5 million. And there was the other ridiculous bluff of, I'm going to go find a sign-and-trade, and you guys can facilitate it and get me somewhere else to a team that does want to pay me the max. Well, that wasn't there either, because there's not really much market for Kyrie Irving at this stage of his career, given everything
right.
He has put the Nets and the Celtics and the Cavs through over the last several years.
So, who
knows where any of this ends up. If I were the Nets, given the stance they've already taken, and I think this is a fair way to view it, you'd think they want to divest themselves of Kyrie Irving, that they want to get out of the Kyrie Irving business. And the Lakers not only seem interested, but frankly kind of desperate for Kyrie, because he's a much better fit than Russell Westbrook. But then the Nets have no use for Westbrook. Even if the Nets want to keep Kevin Durant, I think they can make a compelling case. Again, Kevin Durant doesn't have to accept it, but you can make it a compelling case that they're better off flipping Kyrie for whatever they can get. It's probably a multi-team deal, because the Nets have no use for Westbrook either. He doesn't make sense there. But I think if you can find a multi-team deal where Westbrook drops somewhere else, Kyrie Irving is out, and the Nets recoup something in the process, they could still be a pretty good team. If you've got Kevin Durant, they've got some solid role players. They've got Ben Simmons, who, hey, listen, maybe he's still the all-NBA guy that we saw a couple years ago. The guy's still really young, not even really in his prime yet, and has all the potential in the world if he's healthy and ready to play.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Howard Beck, who says pretty much in the middle there where you said, who knows where this all goes? And it's all true, and it's speculation, and the NBA loves it. I mean, Major League Baseball would kill for this kind of off-season gossip, you know? It's got everybody talking basketball for sure, and KD and Kyrie, there's so many different options, including returning to... But let me just ask you that. Returning to Brooklyn, how would you rate that as an option for both of them?
Well, I mean, how I rate it is not as important as how they would rate it. But yeah. I think that, look, Kevin Durant's got 4 years left on his deal. Kevin Durant loves basketball. He loves basketball at a level that very few do. You know, everybody who plays in the NBA, you assume there's a certain amount of passion and dedication to the sport. But if you cover this game for a while, you realize there's a really wide range. Some guys do it just because they're good at it. They like the lifestyle. They like the money. And some guys are, as Kevin Durant likes to say, hoopers. And he is, yeah. to the extreme.
Yeah.
I think of the way Durant, his passion for the game, his attachment to it, I think about Kobe Bryant, like somebody who just lived and breathed the sport. And to the exclusion of a lot of other things for a lot of his career. Kevin Durant's not going to want to sit out. Kevin Durant's not going to want to burn even a few weeks of the season, much less an entire season. He's not going to do what Ben Simmons did in Philadelphia, for instance. And that being the case, you know, he can say he wants a trade. The Nets don't have to honor it.
Wow.
I don't know that it's a great idea to bring back a top five player who's unhappy with you. Mm-hmm. I don't know that's a great place to be, but back to Kobe Bryant, once upon a time, he had a meltdown and demanded very publicly on radio, even, that he wanted out. And eventually he calmed down and logic prevailed, and the Lakers several months later made the trade for Pau Gasol, and they went back to the finals, and, you know, the rest is history, as they say. So, like, there's a scenario here where the Nets kind of wait this out, and maybe Kevin Durant realizes that, you know, it doesn't have to be about a partnership with Kyrie Irving. He chose Brooklyn for other reasons that were more than just Kyrie, and his business, his media company is here in New York. They've got a good team. They've got good pieces around him. Again, I don't know what Ben Simmons will look like when he finally starts playing again, but we know the guy is an all-NBA talent and a defensive player of the year type talent and an incredible playmaker. And they've got shooters like Joe Harris and Seth Curry, and they picked up Royce O'Neal from the Jazz. And now they've signed TJ Warren, who's a nice reclamation project who could, you know, be a pretty good player. So there's a future in Brooklyn potentially, but Durant has to decide that that's what he wants.
It's incredible, the drama surrounding this guy. And he was once here in a championship nirvana. And
not
then
a lot
ended.
Of drama either. Yeah. I mean, there was only a couple of flare-ups with Draymond when he was here. But other than that, like, it was...
At the end, it got dramatic.
Probably the most stable period of his career,
really. For a
couple
of years. Yeah. Howard, can you believe that there's actually talk in the Bay Area of the Warriors? What package can they put together to go get Durant?
It's out there.
Do you think that's just a function of people having to kill time? Or can you imagine Bob Myers and Joe Lacob doing that?
We have way too many people covering this league.
That's so, it. It's too much, right?
Listen, we all have time to fill, space to fill, airwaves to fill, you know, newspapers to fill, websites to fill. And that's not to deride anything that anybody has written or talked about. It's all valid, but you know, some of it is more plausible than other things, and it's not. Like, it's worth talking about because it's interesting. It's worth talking about because the Warriors, in fact, do have, in the abstract, the potential to make one of the more compelling offers to the Nets with all those young guys. But is that realistically going to happen? I mean, if Kevin Durant is going to be traded from Brooklyn because he's not happy with the Nets because of things that we can't even really explain, then why would we think he's going to be happy going back to the Warriors, a place that he willingly left 3 years ago, because he didn't like certain things about the atmosphere there, which, again, I don't think are things that we can readily explain either. Like, you know, you guys know that story as well or better than I do. And like, I still can't explain exactly why Kevin Durant really wasn't happy in the end with the Warriors, or why he so badly wanted to leave. So I don't see a reunion happening. People I know close to Kevin Durant don't see a reunion happening.
Yeah. Last one for you is just on the Warriors, and that is losing Gary Payton II. I don't know. Nationally, people probably didn't blink too much, but around here, people see that as, wow. I mean, we were just talking to Marcus Thompson yesterday. He played 25 minutes in Game 6 in Boston. You know, the luxury tax, well-documented how far Joe Lacob has gone. It's hard to knock him. In fact, it's impossible to knock him for the amount of money he spent to build a winner. But what did you think of them letting Payton walk?
I don't know so much it was about letting him walk. I mean, look, there's a limit to everything. They've spent hundreds of millions in luxury taxes, as you guys know. And besides that, you've got this young group of Moody and Wiseman and Kuminga, and you need – and Poole, and you need to clear the way. Like, you made this investment in these guys. You like I know they just came off their rookie years, but so, you know, these guys are higher picks, Moody and Kuminga, and obviously, you know, Wiseman's just been hurt, but they're higher picks that you expect to have in your rotation by the time, you know, their second year comes around. If, and their peers were already, you know, playing bigger minutes, the other lottery picks from last year. So they need to be in the rotation. And Gary Payton was a phenomenal player for them and a great story. And a great guy, and like I totally understand from a fan standpoint why you'd be upset to see him go, but I think the Warriors are going to be fine. I don't think that you know, as important as he was, they've got a lot of depth there, and they've got these young guys who need to be in the rotation and should be able to do, you know, if not exactly what Payton does, certainly fulfill a lot of the same things.
Yeah, that's been their plan. They threaded the needle by developing and keeping the guys. They won the freaking championship, so you might as well go full speed ahead with the plan. Fun talking basketball with you, Howard. Everybody should read him at SI.com. Thank you.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thank you.
There he goes, Howard Beck.
Thanks, Howard. Yeah.
He said basically the most, like, in essence, who the hell knows where this goes?
It's a great call. It's a great call. I still think the one thing I'm intrigued by is the just at least the idea, and KD himself said it would be a destination he'd be interested in, is Miami.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.